This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Dr. Gordon Mason. Gordon is a full-time real estate investor residing in Winter Park, Florida. He is president of Choice Assets, a long-term hold residential real estate company, and vice president of Gemka Productions, a company specializing in renovations and short-term retail sales. Gordon and his wife, Sherry, have been members of the Central Florida Realtors Investors for the past 3 years and are active participants in the Pact Prosperity Real Estate Coaching Program. Dr. Mason is also highly regarded as a music educator, conductor, clinician, and professional trumpet player. He received the Doctor of Musical Arts degree in instrumental conducting from the University of South Carolina. As a trumpeter, he performed regularly with the Northeast Philharmonic Orchestra and formerly held positions with the Greenville Symphony and the Toledo Symphony. Gordon is a founding member of the Aurora Brass Quintet and has performed with them throughout the Southeast and Northern Italy. Dr. Mason and his wife Sherry, an independent interior designer, have 3 children and 8 grandchildren. Gordon, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Sam.
You know, this is kind of interesting. I really enjoy your background as a traveling musician and a real estate entrepreneur. What was it like to travel as a musician?
Oh, it was fantastic. Music has taken me places that I never could have gone in my lifetime. When I was young, one of the things that I could do well was play my trumpet from grade school through high school. And since I was very much an introvert, my trumpet actually became my voice through those years and gave me some confidence that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And then eventually the Lord led me into playing and teaching as a full-time profession. So I've been to Carnegie Hall with my choir. I've traveled to Italy with a brass quintet and traveled to a lot of places and just enjoy the beauty of music and performing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, most of our listeners will not be professional trumpet players in the foreseeable future anyway. Tell us about your leadership circumstance in the real estate arena, recognizing that we have listeners who are interested in taking your insights and maybe applying them across a number of different kinds of organizations. So let's start with just background about your company and its thrust.
Okay. As you mentioned, we have 2 real estate companies. One is a buy and hold company, and the other one is a renovation company in which we put those properties on the market for retail sales. So they have a little different emphasis, a little different tax situation, and that's why we have 2 companies. But primarily in this market in Central Florida, it's a very aggressive market. People are moving here from literally all over the world, and those of you who are in the north right now in February might consider moving here at any time. But there's a large influx of people who are interested in the climate, the schools, and so on. And so it's a good market to have this type of business in. There's a lot of competition, and so you have to be careful. And for that reason, we have availed ourselves of resources that would help us gain knowledge in this market so we don't make the big mistakes. But having a small business, of course, is also challenging, especially a new small business from a cash flow perspective. And so as far as leadership, my wife and I are in partnership with this, and so we have found that there's a real benefit in having strengths and weaknesses that complement each other. So I defer to her in some areas. She defers to me when it comes to numbers and research, and so far it's worked out pretty well.
Good. One of the things that I learned as we exchanged information to try to prepare for this podcast so it's focused and full of content is that you rely heavily on your Christian worldview as an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by Christian worldview and how that impacts what you do.
Well, that's a great question because a Christian worldview means different things to different people. But to me personally, it means foundationally, the important things in my life have to do with what God says in the Bible, specific scriptures that I've memorized over the years, and then putting those scriptures into a philosophy that affects actual practice. So when it comes to having a worldview, it affects not only what I do, but the relationships that I have with other people. I feel a responsibility to have a positive influence on the people that I deal with in my business, both from a business standpoint, from a personal character standpoint, and then as a ministry, as literally a minister of the gospel to them, to try and meet needs that they may have.
So when you look at a worldview, it's an accumulation of facts and beliefs that you hold in your heart that help you to make decisions about your life and what you do.
Absolutely.
What are some of the Christian values that are reflected in this worldview from your viewpoint?
Christian values that would have to do with responsibility, personal character, a concern for other people and their needs, certainly responsibility having to do with my own family, my children, my grandchildren, but expanded, you know, even beside within the family, I come in contact with numbers of people throughout the week that I believe have serious needs. And if I can just allow them to talk to me, to ask questions that are leading questions and let them talk about their own needs, I create a relationship with them that I believe serves not only their need but our business, but gives me an opportunity then to talk about other things, and sometimes it's spiritual matters.
So when we look at this then, we have a segment in the show called Sunday to Monday, and basically what it is taking a verse that you might hear on a Sunday and then talking about how you would use that on Monday in your work life and perhaps throughout the rest of the week and the rest of your life, in fact. And this particular verse seems apparent to me in terms of some of the issues you've been talking about. It's Leviticus 19:13, and basically it's very simple, but it seems to go to the heart of what you're talking about. And it says, simply, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. And as I think about you and buying and selling and those kinds of issues, coming up with values that are fair, how does that relate to you in your heart?
Well, first of all, whenever I talk to an individual who has responded to us and has a property for sale, I'm not primarily thinking about numbers. I'm thinking about the relationship that we can create that is a trust relationship. And again, I feel like if I can just have a conversation with those folks, whether it's on the phone or sometimes we sit down and have a cup of coffee together, building that trust relationship helps in when we get to the facts and figures and the actual numbers. So I want to be fair. I want it to be something that is beneficial for both sides. In fact, if it's not, I probably won't do business with that person.
Hmm.
So by their responses, I can tell how motivated they are, first of all. And secondly, I can tell if they are open to making this work for both sides. Some people will say, well, I don't know how much my house is worth. Just give me an offer. You know, sometimes I can do that, but usually I will say, well, just about everybody I talk to has an idea about how much their house is worth. So let's work off of that and see if we can find some common ground. And I'll make two or three offers to that person. Sometimes, you know, it'll be usually a cash offer. It'll be an offer with possibly short-term seller financing, or if they have a particular situation where they don't need all of their cash initially and might actually benefit from payments over a period of time, then I can offer them a higher price if we can extend those their equity over a period of months. So each situation is different, and I really kind of enjoy that, being creative, and that's actually one of our part of our mission statement is to suggest creative and timely solutions to real estate-related needs. So it plays out in a number of different areas depending on the individual situation.
And you talk about your business as being your ministry.
Oh, absolutely.
How does that come through?
One of my mentors, God provided me a number of years ago, taught me a great principle. He was a Christian in business, had a sacred music publishing company that I worked for 10 years. And in regard to that, he said, Gordon, if you will take care of the depth of your ministry, God will take care of the breadth of it. And I've always remembered that because he operated by that principle. And that means it's my responsibility to go deep with my relationship with the Lord and making my business also a ministry to other people. And if I do that, God's going to take care of the result. And I have a great amount of faith in that.
The best thing about that, that's generalizable to any business in any industry.
Absolutely.
In that regard. You face a lot of discouragements and challenges. How do you deal with that?
One of my particular challenges is just keeping balance between the daily disappointments and challenges with God's provision. And that has to do with financial matters. It has to do with marketing. It has to do with just about every aspect of our business. So my personality happens to be one that I can get discouraged pretty easily. But I've found that if I pray, if I recall scripture about God's provision in the Bible, you know, to men in the Old Testament, and look back at the times in my life where it's been absolutely obvious that the Lord provided an outcome that was unexpected. For example, we have three children, and two of our children are adopted. For the first 7 years of our marriage, we didn't think we were going to have any children.
Awesome.
But because of circumstances through our pastor, there was a connection made, and two of our children were adopted and literally delivered to our doorstep. And I look back at that as a time when God met a specific need, and He entrusted us with two lives that we had no idea we could have an effect on for life.
Switching a little bit in topic in terms of moving toward planning, there is a scripture in Proverbs 21:5, that says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And I know you're a big proponent of planning. Could you tell us a little bit about how your planning comes to fruition?
Sure. Okay. One of the things I've learned being in business, as opposed to being an educator in the classroom,
much different.
Which very different. In a classroom, I'm used to being in control of just about everything that happens for a specified period of time. But in business, I've found that you can't always do that. But one of the things I do is time blocking, and that is I will plan a specific task for a specific period of time. Sometimes, especially if I'm reading or I need to concentrate, those times come in the morning when I'm freshest. You can't always plan that, but at least I know there are times during the week when I'm dedicated and my thoughts are focused on a particular, could be a problem in my business or a call I have to make to a seller or a negotiation that I'm having with a private lender. And in our case, we don't use banks to fund our acquisitions. We actually use private lenders. And so in those negotiations, I have to be on the top of my game and know how I can benefit them as well as have funds available for my business. So the time blocking has been certainly a big part of that.
Okay, good. And I know from conversation with you, you like to set long-term goals and related short-term goals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do you, what's the relationship between those two and why is it important to do that?
Well, short-term goals, of course, by definition, are those things that I want to accomplish maybe today, daily goals, or it might be a month out or 2 or 3 months out. And I try and make them as specific as possible. I remember when I wrote some of my goals, I made them SMART goals, and SMART is an acrostic, and you can probably find that on the internet. And I don't remember the meaning of each one of those letters, but the T, for example, is time-based. They should be time-based. Then each of the other letters of SMART have to do with planning and goal setting. But it makes it something that's fairly specific and quantifiable. Now, as far as the long-term goals, those have to do with our business plan on a longer-term basis, things that my wife and I want to accomplish at this point in our life, whether they're leaving a legacy for our family members or in a larger context to people that we have met along the way and that we can serve either with our business or just individually. I'll give you an example, if I may.
Please.
My daughter is a young mom. She's in her mid-30s with two small children, and she has a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. So in working with her church to provide food service for the Wednesday night meal that they serve, she got involved, and there was an elderly lady who had that ministry that wasn't able to keep up with it. So Julianne was able to kind of come in and revive that whole ministry to serve people. Well, it turns out that because of her knowledge of cooking and her initiating this, the church staff, the pastoral staff, has now asked her to take that on as a business, as a paid position in the church. So it's become a ministry first, and as a result of her ministry spirit and love for people, it's now becoming a paid position for her. And so she called me when that was about to happen. She said, "Daddy," and by the way, when she calls me Daddy, I know that she wants something from me, and I kind of like to hear that.
Yeah.
So she said, "We need a verse or a passage of scripture that will be foundational to the philosophy of what we're doing in this particular ministry of the church." So I was able to give her a number of scriptures that she could choose from to use to continue that ministry from a philosophical standpoint. So that, to me, is part of my legacy as her dad that I can expand upon in many other areas.
Terrific, terrific. We end each podcast, and believe it or not, the 20 minutes has gone by, so we're going to end this with a pearl of wisdom, which is your idea about one thought or concept you'd like for people to remember as they move forward in their work day to day and throughout the rest of their work life.
If I were to come up with one statement that probably has affected me overall since we have collaborated with Chasing Wisdom as a course, as mm-hmm. the book that you provided, and in my own reflection, it would be Proverbs 13:20. It says, "He that walketh with the wise shall be wise." So when you walk with wise people, or when you walk with God, wisdom is available if you just listen and do it. And sometimes we resist, you know, sometimes it's a matter of pride. But I have purposefully tried to surround myself with other men and women also who have what I believe is spiritually based wisdom. They may have a lot of knowledge that I can access also. But to me, wisdom is a combination of knowledge, love for people, and then the feet on the street part that makes it practical. And if I can find those people and surround myself with them, I can literally gain wisdom. And I think God provides that, not only directly from the Bible, but He put other people in the world for our good. And we learn from those people in ministry and in just relationships.
Feet on the street, I like that. So when we look at this, that can be intimidating for a lot of people to say, I'm going to put people around me who are very competent, very qualified, and that's going to make me look bad. But in reality, that's not true. In reality, that's where you gain your nurturing and your advice and your counsel in order to move forward.
Well, if you have a struggling business, it's not too much of a stretch to eat a little bit of your pride to find out how to make it successful, especially when it's your main income. So there's great motivation there.
Okay. Gordon, I'm sorry, but your time is up. Thank you so much for being here today. You can find Gordon with the email address gordon@choiceassets.org, G-O-R-D-O-N at choiceassets.org. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I hope you gained a lot from this podcast. I'll see you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.